Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Foxworthy Podcast. I'm Brian Fox, your host, and I'm here with my co-host, Taylor Gaines.
Hello.
We are back for another week of the Foxworthy Podcast. We have a couple of exciting announcements for you guys. We got the podcast up on iTunes now, so you can go to the iTunes store, search the Foxworthy Podcast. You can download episodes, stream episodes.
It's F-A-U-X.
F-A-U-X, worthy, W-O-R. T-H-Y.
Yeah, all of our previous episodes are up there now. If you really want to know what date we recorded them on, I think it's in the info for each one. But from now on, they should go up pretty close to the date of their actual recording.
We'll warn you now that a few of our earlier episodes, we tried to throw the spoiler warnings in there, but just be careful if you're still watching some of the shows that we're discussing. There are some topics that we kind of touched on and some spoilers that we went through. It's just kind of a blanket thing that we should probably say. For most of our pods, we're going to try to keep them spoiler-free, but if you haven't watched specific shows or episodes we're talking about, you might get spoiled even just a little bit. So
and this
if that's
episode,
something that
even,
concerns you...
Even this episode, we might be getting into a little spoiler territory in the middle, but we'll warn you. So... if you do like it and you enjoy the podcast, then go on iTunes, review, and rate it, or one or the other, or both, I guess.
Yeah, even if you hate it, please let us know that you hate it, and we'll take that to heart.
As long as it's constructive, right?
I mean, yeah,
that's
but
just
you know,
not like pure hatred.
There's nothing you can do about people who just want to be nasty. So, anyway, today's topics we're going to touch on something that's been going on a little bit in television for the past year-ish. Half a year,
I mean,
I guess.
It's happened before, obviously. Now, it's just like now it's becoming some kind of trend.
Yeah, there's definitely a trend currently right now with some of these bigger shows that have a lot of viewers. Before we really dive into this topic, we will say we're going to be talking about Game of Thrones, we're going to be talking about Walking Dead, and we're going to be talking about The Leftovers pretty heavy spoiler territory. So if you're not completely caught up, you might want to skip this episode and come back to it at a future date.
I think The Walking Dead might be the only one we get really spoilery on, because I think the other two, not many people watch, and I don't think you even watch The Leftovers or Game of Thrones.
I don't watch The Leftovers or Game of Thrones.
So I can kind of avoid spoilery stuff for that.
Okay.
But
it is kind of a big... Even if we try to dial back on the spoilers, it's still just the subject matter
that's
that
true.
We're talking about is still very... So just it's just a warning.
So anyway, we teased
this
last week, but we're going to talk about TV shows sort of faking out the audience with their main characters dying
principal character deaths.
Almost dying at the end of episodes.
Yeah. So I guess you can probably speak to this more than I can. I guess this, I mean, obviously this is something that's definitely happened in television before, and it happens in movies all the time. And it's usually pretty annoying. Sometimes it's kind of fun because you are convinced that someone is dead and they pop out of nowhere and you're like, oh my gosh, they lived. That's awesome. So I guess this year, speaking to what's been going on in TV this year, Game of Thrones did this at the end of their fifth season with a very major character, right?
I'm not going to name names, but if you follow TV, and odds are if you are listening to this, you probably know who it is. But one of the main characters of Game of Thrones basically ended the season dying on the ground, and the internet immediately went into, oh, there's no way that person's dead mode, and it's basically been like, the Game of Thrones set has been like the CIA trying to hide from cameras, because I've seen people sneak photos like, oh my gosh, the said person is on the set, of course they're alive, and like, it just overshadows everything else about the show, which is sort of where I land on this whole thing, where, like, when it's all you're talking about relating to the show, then you probably didn't do it right. Because The Leftovers, for example, had a similar thing where last week's episode ended with one of the main characters dying, or possibly dying, and not many people were really talking about that afterward because, I mean, they were, but a lot of people were just saying this episode was great because of how said character's emotional arc progressed throughout the episode and what they believed at the end, what it meant conceptually, what the path of that episode meant for the character and for the show. I think when you're talking about it in that way, oh, this character felt like this was the only thing they could do was to die or to kill himself or whatever, And it's a lot more powerful and affecting when it works that way. Because some shows, like, I feel like The Walking Dead did this, where they just kill people or fake kill people just for the hell of it, just because it's like, oh, we need to have 2 or 3 deaths per season, but we'll never kill, like, these main, like, 3 or 4 people. So, I don't know. You watched The
Well,
Walking Dead.
I'll say
Explain to
this.
me what happens
I'll
with
say
this.
that generally speaking, I don't recall another point in the show throughout its, we're in the middle of the sixth season now. Throughout its run, I don't recall a point where they pretended to kill someone,
Well, yeah.
waited a few weeks to tell you if they were alive or dead. So the thing about The Walking Dead is that it's kind of just, it's a part of the show that when you watch it, you realize people die. People you like, you might meet somebody who's in it for like 4 episodes, and they do a bunch of stuff in 4 episodes, and then they're just dead and gone, and you never see them again. So you just kind of get used to people dying. It's built into, you know, the world of the show. It makes sense on that show that people would die all the time. But
But there is a core
they
group who is
try to
never
make,
really in danger, right?
I would say that this isn't really too much of a spoiler, but yeah, I would say that Carol, Rick, Daryl, and maybe Michonne,
Glenn?
Glenn, well, you would think. But a few weeks ago, the third episode of this new season, they had a scene where a character appeared to have been just eaten alive by zombies. I won't say anything beyond that if you haven't watched it. But they left that kind of ambiguous. But here's the thing that frustrates me even more is that if they had just not, like, if the showrunner and the writing team, the producers, had said nothing about it and just let us believe that he was dead, it would have been a lot more satisfying when he was alive. But the fact that we had to deal with the Twitter debate and everyone saying, oh, here's a set photo of this character on the set, still filming later episodes in the season, and there's no way he's dead, and that's not how he died in the comic books. Silly stuff like that. It got really annoying because we were just waiting for them to tell us something we already knew, which is that this person was still alive.
And the funny thing was, what I saw as a non-viewer of the show was the creators coming out and saying, "You will see so and so in some form, in some way, shape, or form in upcoming episodes, and the actor will be a part of the show, but like we're not going to say whether he's or
Which,
like literally
in my
alive or
opinion,
dead."
and this is where the internet kind of comes in to ruin things, is that they should have said nothing.
Right.
And they should have
Well,
just
this is what.
let the show speak for itself and let people make whatever assumptions they wanted to make about the scene where this person was being eaten alive on the ground by a horde
Yeah,
of
I
zombies.
do want to mention this because it's really funny. Damon Lindelof, the creator of
The
The
Leftovers,
Leftovers
yeah.
and showrunner, and obviously Lost, he was very involved with Lost for
Right.
people who were into that. So you might love him or hate him, who knows? The Leftovers did its death thing a couple weeks after The Walking Dead did,
Yeah.
and because of the way, like we just mentioned, the showrunners sort of mishandled that in the Twitterverse and in the media.
Yeah.
Lindelof came out and he sent a message to Alan Sepinwall that said, and I'll change the name in case people are want to watch The Leftovers. We'll call the character Bob. So Lindelof just said, "You will see Bob or parts of Bob, possibly memories of Bob, Bob's jogging pants, maybe another character named Bob, an adolescent game entitled 7 minutes in Bob, and or, but not necessarily literally, the actual Bob again and soon." And then hashtag blank lives, and he put the name of the Walking Dead person. So he's literally trolling Walking Dead.
Right.
And
Which is funny.
I
and that's
realize
a
reading that, if
funny.
you know how rhyming works, I might have sort of spoiled it. But it's really funny the way that Lindelof was like, "Listen, you guys handled this so poorly. Like, I'm gonna make a joke out of this because you shouldn't really. You should let art stand for itself." Like, I don't know. Lindelof obviously is someone who's really struggled with how he, him and his art interact because
Right.
of the way that Lost ended, and a lot of people, like, he deleted his Twitter account at one point, I think, and.
Yeah, he is often the on the receiving end of a lot of vitriol on the internet. And I think
But.
he just kind of at this point doesn't care because he still keeps getting work and he keeps doing the kind of work that he seems to want to do.
And let me say that last night's episode of The Leftovers, where they. And first of all. Okay, before I talk about last night's, let me say that if you do a character death tease at the end of an episode, especially in today's day and age, it seems smart to spend the next episode discussing what happened, or at least acknowledging what happened, so that people will not freak out, because apparently The Walking Dead was like, we'll decide it in a month, have fun.
So that was the other problem, is they had this scene with the horde of zombies eating this character, and then the next week's episode was a flashback to a character that we haven't seen since season 3, and explained what he was up to, basically, since the time we last saw him and now. And it was that episode was a 90-minute episode.
And Game of Thrones sort of did the same thing, because their season ended. So you have to wait a year to find out what happened. And you can debate whether that's more effective than taking 3 weeks off, because then people will just basically ignore the quality of those 3 weeks of episodes, where doing it at the end of a season might just bring people back. But The Leftovers last night addressed it pretty much right off the bat. Like, usually the show opens with a scene, and then there's the opening credits, you know, like how some shows do that, some shows don't, but usually they have the opening scene, and then the credits, and this time it just went straight to the credits, because they weren't messing around. It went straight to the credits, and then straight back to acknowledging what had happened to the character, and it was one of the weirdest and most awesome episodes of TV I've ever seen. I don't even know how to describe it. It was just batshit crazy. Is that accurate? Sorry, Mom, if you're listening. It was just insane. Like, my roommates who don't watch The Leftovers were just, like, entranced. We were all just sitting on the couch like, what the hell is going on? Like, suffice it to say, it was, like, just a completely different story for an episode, but it somehow fit perfectly into this show's world. And it answered questions and raised more questions and was intriguing and entertaining and made for a good hour of satisfying television. And I was like, this is how you handle
a death fake out.
Or especially when, and I believe this is true in all three of these cases, and I feel like we're trying to not be spoiler, and this will still be sort of spoilery and sort of non-spoilery, but especially when the death is one of the actors that's in your main, like, regular cast, which it is in all three of these cases, it becomes especially tricky to try to deceive people, because they're like, okay, like, this is one of the first, like, five names we see on the credits. How are we supposed to believe that you're actually killing this person? So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a good way to handle it, and there's a bad way, and I think we've seen all of variety of it in the last few months.
Let's here's to hoping this trend does not continue with the current television landscape and just kind of snowball, and every show starts trying to copy this sort of idea.
And I tell you what, though, if Lindelof is at the handle, then I'm fine with it, because The Leftovers has quickly gone from a show that I was just like, eh, like, it's interesting, it tackles metaphysical questions and raises spiritual questions that no other show on TV even attempts. And it's fascinating, but I never was super into it. And the last two or three weeks, I've just gone from, like, being semi into it and watching to, like, legitimately looking forward to the next episode. Like, it's just really improved. I know a lot of people have talked about its improvement from season 1 to season 2, but it's intriguing television.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up that conversation. I think we're going to move on to revisiting something we talked about in our last episode. Was it the last episode? I think it was.
Yeah,
last week's episode.
Which was episode 9, right?
Aziz Ansari's Netflix series, Master of None. And Taylor and I have both now finished it, and so we just wanted to touch for a few minutes on some of the things we liked about the latter half of the season. So we are going to get into some spoilers if you haven't finished. We're going to be talking specifically about some of the last few episodes of the season that has, you know, some of the bigger plot elements and character developments. So if you don't want to be spoiled, skip ahead or come back to this episode. Here we go. So Taylor, you finished the season. What did you think overall?
I ended up really liking it a lot. I think it was kind of, I still think of it largely as, like, just like ranking individual episodes, basically, instead of, like, putting it into one grand thing, because each thing kind of feels like its own. But it also, it ties in overall. But yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, I think, on the podcast last week, Rachel, played by Noelle Wells, I believe, was sort of the character I was most interested in, and the actress slash actor I was most captivated by, and she had a lot more to do in the second half of the season, and her relationship with Aziz Ansari's Dev made for some really, like, poignant stuff and some really emotional stuff that I didn't expect to, like, hit me as hard as it did, or to be as effective as it was, and it definitely was just high quality television. I mean, there's some episodes in there. Like, there's the one that I know you love where it just basically documents each morning that they wake up during their relationship.
For, like, the first year, basically. It kind of, it's not really jumping ahead so much as it's just kind of showing us an acceleration of, you know, here's a morning, a month later, here's another morning. And the episode is entitled Mornings, and it just shows them waking up and kind of, you know, some days they're, you know, very into each other and they're getting along and you kind of see the sweetness of their relationship. And then other times you kind of see things souring a little bit and they disagree about something, or, you know, she gets a job opportunity and he's like, oh, so you're moving now? Like, what's up with that?
I thought it was interesting because you could kind of see everything slowly, cumulatively building up to something, and you're totally rooting for the little good things to keep happening and the bad things to not keep happening, but you know the way TV works, there has to be some kind of conflict, and it just kind of slowly builds up to the point that you're like, no, don't be mad at each other, and then it just kind of happens. I forget how that specific episode ended, but I remember it just being very affecting. And then my personal favorite episode, I think, was the Nashville episode where
Dev
and Rachel actually spent their first date going on like a weekend trip to Nashville. I think the reason I love that one was just their chemistry and like the way they played off each other, and the way the writers built up sort of like running gags between the two of them throughout the episode that felt like very natural and like just like something that would happen between two people who had such great chemistry.
I loved the barbecue sauce thing where he used the traffic thing to figure out how long it would take to go back to this restaurant to get this barbecue sauce that you can only get in Nashville. And then they get to the airport and they miss their flight. And then he sees, it shows him sitting there, and there's a stand in the airport where they sell the exact barbecue sauce. Like, he could have just gotten it there the whole time. And I thought that was hilarious.
I also loved when they landed back in New York, and he said, I know this is crazy because we spent the last, like, 36 hours together or whatever, but do you want to go get some food? And she says something along the lines of, like, only if, like, I had some white barbecue sauce that I could put on the food or whatever. And it was just a really beautiful, like, cause she had every reason to be mad at him. Cause,
right. Cause she had something like she's
like doing a niece's recital that he made her miss.
A relative's and something.
It was just this nice moment of like being funny and also clearly caring about the other person that like landed really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like we should talk about the finale. Like, I don't know if people are still listening, if they haven't seen this, but yeah. So the last episode,
right? This,
I mean, the way I describe this to you, this is a really deep reference, I guess, if you're not a Broadway person, or if, like, I'm not, but I've happened to see this show. But I said to you, I didn't expect Master of None to turn into Once, because
I mean,
it seemed
it basically
like,
does. At the last episode, you're like, oh, this is so sweet. They have such a sweet relationship. And then by the end of the season, they're not together anymore.
And not only that, it sets you up for Dev's going to fly to Tokyo and win her back. And then you find out he's just going to cooking school in Italy. And you're just like, wow. So that really is, that's just it, huh? I mean, I'm sure if there's a second season, those two will be on the screen together again.
Yeah.
But
it'll be interesting to see. They haven't announced anything. I would assume that if Aziz is interested in a second season, that they'll absolutely make one.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix renews everything, pretty much.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I would assume that he would want to keep going, but he may have kind of just, like, scratched his itch and kind of gotten it all out there, and that might just be the end, you know?
Yeah, I mean, know. And if that's the end...
I have no idea. I mean,
it was, like, really sad.
Really sad, and...
But, like, really kind true of beautiful. To the characters, yeah. And, it just felt... It felt pretty real, even if, like... Even if I feel like if those were two real people, like, they really could work this out. Like, those two are really good for each other.
I mean, yes.
But
I agree.
But it really does work, and it's very sad. And I know we're making this sound, like, kind of depressing, I guess. But
it's not.
It's also really funny.
It's a really entertaining show. It's really funny. It's hard to stop watching. It's just... It's both light and breezy, and also kind of makes you think about a few things. And the relationship is really well handled, and they're really fun. It's really fun to watch the two of them interact, because they have terrific chemistry.
Yeah, and like we said last week, it's kind of just an interesting look at how the world works today in a lot of different ways, like
yeah.
With diversity on TV and with relationships. And
very interesting perspective on modern relationships, for sure. And there's a lot going on in it. There's a lot of different topics that are covered. the episode about race, the Indians on TV episode that we mentioned last week, is really terrific. So yeah, if you haven't watched it yet, you can unskip now. This is the unskip moment. That was a few minutes. We'll put that in the timestamp so you guys will know how far ahead to skip if you didn't want to catch the spoilers at the for the latter half of Master of None.
The last thing we wanted to talk about is sort of a quick opinion slash teaser for, I guess, what we're hoping is going to be a more of a deep dive episode next
Yeah,
week.
so next week we have a special episode planned. A week today's Monday. Next Monday,
We're recording this on a
a week from today, we have a special episode planned. We're going to do a little bit longer episode with my friend Malik Grady, who some of you may know if you listened way, way back to that bonus episode that was almost 2 hours long, where we deep dived on a ton of comics related media in television and film.
Yeah, I mean, we promise it won't be 2 hours.
It won't be 2 hours, but it'll definitely be, you know, a good 15 to 20 minutes longer than what we've been averaging recently. So, but we hope it's going to be interesting. We're going to bring Malik on, and the three of us are going to kind of talk Jessica Jones and maybe touch on the state of comics TV.
And you
He's
guys
up
have
on
more of a
everything.
background in the actual comics, right?
I have a little bit for certain things, but Malik has a lot more than I do, and he actually knows a lot about Jessica Jones from the comics.
Oh, cool. Well,
He
that could be
has,
interesting.
yeah, he's read a lot of it. I think going all the way back to the original Brian Michael Bendis story Alias that she kind of originated in.
Well, that's funny
So.
because, well, really briefly, like, Jessica Jones went up on Netflix this weekend.
Right, so it dropped on
13
Friday.
episodes. It's part two, basically, of this four-part Netflix Marvel TV universe that,
Well,
right? Because it's
it is.
Daredevil,
It's Daredevil,
it's
Jessica
Jessica
Jones,
Jones.
Luke Cage, who is a character in Jessica Jones,
And then
which
the
we'll
fourth
talk about,
series, I don't remember what it's
is called
called.
Iron Fist. So yeah, so Marvel and Netflix have this collaboration. Netflix is distributing four Marvel series. It's Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist, and they're eventually going to culminate in a Defenders miniseries. A Defenders, I guess, is something in the comics where they all these characters come together,
It'll be
very
like an
similar,
Avengers type
right? Like a
thing.
small screen Avengers.
Yeah, so.
So it started earlier this year. I think I don't remember what month it was, but way earlier this year. And I think we did talk about. No, this was something I talked about with Malik. Was
Daredevil.
Daredevil, which was
Which is
surprisingly
good.
adult, really well done, surprisingly adult, very violent. So getting back to Jessica Jones,
Now, we've each seen the first three episodes.
yeah, we're actually pretty neck and neck right
All
now.
13 are on Netflix, so some of you might have seen all of them already, some of you might have seen zero of them. But I'll just say this, like, it reminds me a lot of Daredevil in that it's like pretty compulsively watchable and enjoyable, and I sort of care enough about the main characters that I am interested. And then there's like a super intriguing villain who they like barely tease in each episode because they're like, oh, you're on Netflix, you're gonna keep watching. The villain doesn't actually show up on the screen in the first episode, and you're like, oh, I knew they were gonna, they're just making me want to watch more. But the villain is super intriguing, and it kind of just makes you want to keep watching. And unlike Daredevil, it's less case of the week that happens to tie into the larger story and more just the larger story.
So far, yeah, definitely.
But, and it's also introducing Luke Cage, as we mentioned.
Yeah, Luke Cage is a character in this, and he that actor has been cast, and he's going to play Luke Cage, you know, through the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're gonna deep dive on this next week when we get with Malik, but I think both of us are kind of really enjoying it so far, what we've seen.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna finish it. I don't know if I'll finish it by next week, but I'm definitely gonna watch the rest of this because I am really intrigued by it.
How do you feel? Everyone keeps saying, I talked with Malik about this a little bit yesterday, actually, as we were kind of prepping for the episode we're doing. Everyone keeps saying that this is darker and grittier than Daredevil, and I was sort of
Well,
so
Daredevil
far
was darker
not.
and grittier than everything else, too.
Right.
I mean, it's definitely darker and grittier than Marvel movies.
For sure.
It's probably not darker and grittier than Zack Snyder's Man of Steel, but maybe it is. I don't know, it definitely is dark, and
It's definitely dark.
but it's also got it's sort of sarcastic. That's kind of the vibe I get from Jessica Jones, is kind of like dark and bitter and
I think
sarcastic.
emotionally and psychologically, it's definitely just darker because it's kind of the themes are definitely dealing with much heavier stuff. We're dealing with abuse and, you
Yeah,
know,
it's sort of a
it's
show about rape, but like not explicitly.
right. it's not overt, but it's sort of like a metaphor for abuse and, sexual abuse.
So, yeah, it's definitely really fascinating, and it's Kristen Ritter plays Jessica Jones, who probably best known to most casual TV fans as Jesse's girlfriend on Breaking Bad.
Yep.
And she's pretty good in it. It's got
she's pretty good.
David Tennant, who I'm told was on Broadchurch and Grace Point.
He was on both.
The British miniseries that Fox loved so much that they decided to remake it shot for shot in America.
And then killed it after one season. But anyway, David Tennant is also famous for Doctor Who.
That's true.
He was a doctor for several years, probably the most popular up to this point with the Doctor Who reboot revival.
And he's quite captivating as well.
He's really interesting in this role. I don't think I mean, other than his one appearance in a Harry Potter movie in Goblet of Fire, he's never really played, I've never really seen him as a true villain where he just gets to be completely villainous and evil the whole time. But the way they tease him out is just very interesting throughout these first couple episodes, and I'm very curious to see, you know, what happens with that character and his relationship to Jessica Jones.
So yeah, I guess that's the warning, is that next week will be a little more spoilery on Jessica Jones, just decide if you want to or don't want to watch it, and then you can listen to us talk about it either way.
Basically, I think that's going to wrap it up for today. Thank you very much for listening. Please go to iTunes, rate, and review us. You can find the episodes there. We're also going to have them up on the Foxworthy blog. You're going to be able to just stream them. If you're on a laptop, you can just stream them nicely from there, or if you prefer to have it on the go, we do have them on iTunes, and I actually have an Android phone. I have a Samsung Galaxy, and the podcast app that I use, I checked it, and the episodes are actually on there as well.
Oh, really?
So I think it's just kind of, once it's on the RSS feed, most podcast apps can kind of pick it up.
Right, and it's even before it was on iTunes, you technically could have gotten it on iTunes. It's just, like, really complicated. Mm-hmm. You have to search for it.
So we worked that out for you guys. If you guys are interested in downloading them, please do so. Please, we're always interested in feedback. Follow us on Twitter. You can go on Twitter, and you can comment. You can let us know how you feel about it.
We're going to have a Foxworthy Podcast Twitter account soon, right?
We are. There's going to be a Foxworthy Podcast Twitter account. You guys will be able to follow it, and you can see kind of what we're up to. We're going to hopefully post some more writing and that kind of stuff, and kind of build some more content for you guys to follow if you're interested. So thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week for our very special episode with Malik Grady. We're going to be doing Jessica Jones and some comic stuff. So y'all have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time off of work and school, etc.
Enjoy the turkey.
Goodbye.